Who am I? What should I hope for? And what should I do? These are fundamental human questions. Last Sunday, Dean Thomason shared a quote in his sermon, a quote attributed to the late Dean of Salisbury Cathedral. The end of that quote describes the cathedral as a proclamation of the Christian way, a way by which human beings can find help in their search for the answer to the fundamental questions: who am I? What should I hope for? And what should I do? So, who am I? How might I describe me? Well, my tendency first, if I'm honest, would be to conceptualize myself as an object of sorts, an object that can be described and that's located in a specific time and place. And this would be partially true, but it's not the whole story of me. Given I'm a living being, nothing within me or around and about me is actually fixed or permanent. So rather than conceptualizing myself as an object, perhaps I should also and more accurately think of myself as an ongoing process. Just like the world around me and the universe that holds us all, I am in a constant state of change and transformation, responding to and influencing countless macro and micro processes and systems that are in motion in my body and the world around me. I know this to be true, and yet I will still default to conceptualizing myself in a similar way to the things in the world around me, as a kind of object, a somewhat fixed entity I am constantly tempted to see reliable, dependable, permanence, or changelessness, where actually and really there's none. Reality, of which I am a part, reality as we know it exists through scientific exploration, is in constant motion. It's in a constant state of change, as am I. Yet the culture I've been shaped by and the English language I use doesn't reflect that reality very well. The concepts I use frame reality with a preference for permanence and objectivity. In this cultural mix, then, it's of little surprise that ideas about the world and about other people, ideas about race, sexuality, gender, ability, nationality, ideas, opinions, beliefs, as well as our own self-understanding, can seem fixed and objectified. In this cultural mix, ideas are something we grasp, that we hold. They are owned, just like an object is owned or possessed. But when opinions or beliefs become like objects, like possessions, there can arise the temptation to treat them like actual objects, to want to hold on to them, especially if they are long held or inherited, to see them as part of our estate, our worth. There can arise the temptation to defend them, even with violence or killing or war. Ownership is important in this cultural space we live in. It's valued and it's defended. So it's easy to be deceived into thinking that the possession and ownership of ideas and beliefs, judgments and opinions is a part of who we are. These objects of thought, often inherited. Their endurance and resistance to change is nothing in our entire known cosmos is static. Nothing. It is all in a state of change. And yet, certain ideas and opinions are held as if permanent and fixed. There's a stretch is located that stands in sharp contrast to this cultural value system. It emphasizes that Christian faith is a way of life, a way of living, a process of sorts. That the lived actions of the Christian community are the way that the virtues of faith, hope, and love are realized out in the world. This strand of thought within the Anglican tradition believes that it is our human actions that shape and define the human person. We may identify as Christians, as followers of Jesus, but until that identity is lived out in the world through relationship, it remains merely an idea we hold. A belief we possess, a mere object of our thought. Being a follower of Jesus in this tradition places priority not on the beliefs we hold, but on the care we take of one another. It places a priority on our pastoral presence in and our response to the world. And this is prioritized over and sometimes against the seemingly fixed, long-held, inherited cultural norms, long-held traditions, or the established opinions of the dominant majority or those in a position of power. The Anglican way of being and living and responding acknowledges the complexity of each individual and the different and shifting societies and cultures in which each of our lives is located. There is an ongoing and dynamic dance, if you like, of pastoral care with matters of social justice, the tradition of the church, and the cultural reality of the world around us, the constantly shifting and changing reality of the world in which all this is located. It is a process, a slow and a complex one, and one within which nothing of the human person is fixed. Nothing actually stays the same. This way of being, like all of creation, is alive and in motion. It is ever-changing and responsive. It calls for our attention, our efforts. Born of love, this way of being prioritizes care. And so it's rarely easy. And it's certainly not speedy. I believe this is the way of love Jesus calls us all to live. This life isn't about collecting and storing up objects, be those objects material possessions or the objects of inherited cultural norms or societal expectations. This life is about being in relationship, guided and held together by love and the living presence of God. It is about being in dynamic, shifting, changing, and complicated relationship with one another and the world around us. It's about being transformed daily by our participation and care in those relationships. And through the duration of our lives, by that process of love and of being loved. And we are living in a culture, and it's the culture that values the possession of objects. And in this culture, there is an illusory simplicity to a life that's centered on the collection and protection of objects. It is a life in which other people are seen, conceptualized, treated as objects of a sort, in which beliefs and held opinions are possessed as objects of a sort, and in which God also is often treated as an object to be grasped. And we are part of a spiritual tradition that has long prioritized our participation in this life over the accumulation of objects. And this is, I think, a wise and suitable response to the actual relational and dynamic reality of our universe and of our lives. Because this is a reality of change, of ongoing process, of dynamic interconnection, transformation. We live, despite learned, enculturated conceptualizations, in an ever-shifting tension and dance of order and chaos. We are participants in all that. And so back to those fundamental questions. Who am I? What should I hope for? And what should I do? Well, among many other things, I am an ever-changing and beloved child of God, called into relationship with you and with the world around me and with God. And as such, love is my source and my guide and my reason for living. What should I hope for? I believe I should hope for the ongoing transformation of my own self and this world into God's kingdom reality that is both already here and still not yet realized. And what should I do? I believe I should participate, cultivate, practice. I should join in actively, proactively in the complicated and sometimes difficult slow dance of love and care as it meets with acquired knowledge and inherited culture and tradition. I should intentionally participate in the process of transformation. I should listen, respond, think, continually consider, perhaps reevaluate, always remain open to learning from another's experience. Always remain open to having my mind changed. I should slowly discern the presence of God before rushing to quick judgment. I should participate in this complex and ever-changing world, showing my love through the ways I speak and act and listen and care. I should practice love as Jesus commands, because love is a process.